Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Well, thank you for joining us and welcome in to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I'm Rick Stevens, I'm your host, and this is your show. If you've got those topics you would like to hear discussed on future episodes, please let us know. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. You can also shoot me an email at rstevens@wradvisors.com or go to our website, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click on that contact tab at the top. Scroll down. Send us your questions. Send us your message. We would love to hear from you. Now, today, folks, we are talking about something near and dear to my heart. I know that many of you out there feel that same way. Today, we're talking about teaching our kids how to handle money. And back with me in the studio today is Doug Gooden. Doug, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Rick. Glad to be back with you.
Awesome. Now, folks, Doug's a pastor here in town. He's a father of three who are in or nearing the adult years, depending on how you look at having some teenagers. Two teenagers and a 20, right?
That's it. Yep.
All right, okay. Yep. I thought I remembered right where they were. So we're just going to kind of jump in here. Doug, I know that we share a passion for many things, baseball, kids, stewardship included in there. For you, that desire when it comes to teaching your kids about money, how to use it as a tool, all those different things, where does that desire, where does that drive come from for you?
A couple places, really. Number one is just this sense of responsibility. You know, I believe God blesses us with so many things, and we have responsibilities to use it well and to think about how we use those things. And then secondly, very practically, as you described it, money is a tool. And, you know, my dad was a great man. I tell people all the time, he's the greatest man I've ever known. I wish he had been a little more intentional about teaching me about money.
Yeah.
And you know, some people are terrified of money. Some people are controlled by money and greed and all of that. And so I want my kids to say, no, this is a tool. It's a good thing. Learn how to use it. Learn how to use it effectively. And you control where your money goes rather than letting it control you. So that's really kind of where it flows from, is use it well.
Yeah, and very much so. That's right where I come from on that as well. You know, oftentimes when I'm out speaking, I'll tell folks, you know, everybody knows Proverbs 22:6, right? Train up a child in the ways they should go. When they're old, they'll not depart from it. And I usually say, what comes after Proverbs 22:6? And you get that stunned silence. I say Proverbs 22:7, you know. But that's the proverb that talks about how the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. And that idea of needing to teach our kids about finances and about how to handle money. You know, for many years, I taught a high school course on personal finance or consumer economics, depending on which school I was in. Taught it in private Christian schools in the Chicago suburbs. I taught it in public schools out here at Lewis Palmer and Palmer Ridge. I've taught it in the homeschool co-ops. My high schoolers have done my personal finance course. Your high schoolers have done my personal finance course. And really, regardless of when I've taught it, I always start with the same thing. Right, regardless of the age of the kids that we're working with, they can all understand there are only three things we can do with money. We can give it, we can save it, or we can spend it. And those are the only three we can do, right? Now with my teenagers, that's really, really easy to kind of get into there. But I want to ask you this. When your kids were younger, right, in those single-digit years, what did you and Krista do to kind of help them understand those options they had with money?
When they were really young, the first thing was they need some money.
Yes. Right?
They need some way to get it. So we didn't take the traditional allowance route. We believe the Bible teaches that Jesus took our punishment. So we're not waiting for a day when he's going to punish us. But we do know there's a day coming when we're going to give an account for things and he's going to reward us. Mm-hmm. So we took that principle and said, okay, how can we bring that into our family? So we had this, what we call the day of reckoning. It was always unexpected. You know, no one knows the time or the moment. And I would go, dun, dun, dun. They all knew what that little jingle meant. And so what we would do is we would evaluate them and say, okay, how have you done in cleaning your room? How have you done in treating your sister or your brother, whatever? And then we would reward them based on that. Mm. And the max was about $5 when they were real little. Yep. And then I think similar to what you did, we had three envelopes for them. One was a give envelope, one was a spend, one was a save. And $1 went into the give, $2 went into the spend, $2 went into the save. And we said, you can spend the spend on anything you want. And for like a five-year-old, really?
$2 is a lot.
It's a huge amount of money. How much candy can I get for that? Give usually went to church or just some other charity kind of thing. And then the save was just save it for something. We didn't necessarily define that right away. Mm-hmm. But the idea was to create that habit of saving. And so we taught them early on, first of all, you need a source of income. Mm-hmm. But then you need to decide. These are the three things you can do with it. Let's put that in your mindset from the very beginning.
Yeah, you kind of talked about it a little bit there. For us, what we did with those kids is we started with the three containers, the give, the save, and the spend. And whatever it was they got the money from, they got some money from chores. They had their own little table at the garage sale. They were selling lemonade. Whatever the case may be, we took whatever they earned, broke it out into those three pieces, and then got them in that habit, right? When they're 3, 4, 5 years old and they're selling nickel lemonade that I paid 10 cents for, they got their money. 10% went to the give, 10% when they were really little went to the spend, and about 80% went to the save. And we actually made a big deal of being able to put the money into that piggy bank. Eventually though, they get to that 6, 7, 8 year old range. We make a big deal. We go down to the bank. We open the savings account. They get to hand over the money. They get their ticket back.
It's, now, did your bank have the thing where they could grab a handful of money and be like seed money for their savings?
That's a good question. I don't think so, but that would have been awesome.
Our bank did that. This is great.
Wow.
They're fostering that idea of savings.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to figure out what bank that was. Go back and maybe get some seed money for my savings out of there. But, as they get older, we actually adjust with them along the way. One of those reasons, and we'll kind of talk about this a little bit later on. One of those reasons is when my kids have gotten to high school, they're basically paying for all of their own stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want them to understand, that you are that lifelong giver, that lifelong saver, that lifelong spender and earner, as the case may be. But to really have those, these are the three things I do with money here. I'm gonna ask maybe for a little embarrassing kid story, but it should be okay because it should be a proud dad moment as well. Give our listeners a little proud dad moment of when you've seen your kids embrace that give, save, spend mindset.
Yeah. There's a lot of examples I could give. It's really set in for them. And I'm thinking now of as they've gotten older in their teen years, all three of my children bought a car before they got their driver's license. They saved up the money. And, they didn't buy nice cars. They bought $3,000 cars kind of thing. But they all did that. And they've all had savings accounts, as we talked about, from that seed coins. My son, I'll brag on him for a moment. So my son, he's a very generous kid. First of all, he gives to the church right off the top, has an automatic withdrawal, so doesn't even have to think about it. There it goes. And then he's just generous. He came in one day and told me, I bought my friend here a pair of tennis shoes for his birthday, and I looked them up. They were $125.
Wow. I don't buy me $125
shoes. But, he just had a generous heart, and he had the money. He wanted to do that. I said, I'm not going to complain about that. That's good. If he just kept doing too much. This is also the kid, by the way, that's willing to spend freely on himself. Taco Bell. I think we talked about that last time.
Yes.
But anyway, so he buys this car even before he has his license. It's about a $3,000 Honda Accord used. But he's continuing to save money while he's waiting to get his license so he can drive it. And because he had cash saved, a neighbor of ours knew he was approaching the driver's age, and he said, "Hey, I've got this truck I'm going to sell." And my son had $8,500 in cash, so he was able to sell the Honda, never even drove it, sell the Honda, buy the truck, which he really wanted, because he had the discipline to save that money all those years. It was a proud dad moment, very much so.
That's awesome. Gabe, well done, buddy. Yeah, well done on that one. There are all kinds of some of those fun little proud dad things that we can get out there. And, you know, I it never ceases to amaze me, I guess, is the way I should put it, when I see that my kids are doing things that I'm pretty sure we've been very intentional in teaching them, but we didn't have to tell them to go do, you know, this, that, or the other. Pretty much every one of my kids, and, you know, with six of them, we got a lot of birthdays through the year, but they are very good about knowing which sibling has which birthday coming up. I need to set aside this, you know, amount that I want to go spend on whichever one. And, you know, we just had two birthdays back to back this week. And even my little guy, my 7-year-old, Riley, is very aware. Hey, I want to go spend money. I need to save this up over here so I can go buy something for Olivia, so I can buy something for Sophie for their birthdays. It's really cool, really great to just be able to see them thinking the things through, right? Not just reacting to whatever's going on in the world around them, but actually being intentional about what they're doing with their money. Well, folks, we are up against that first break. When we come back, we're actually going to delve a little bit deeper into being intentional about teaching our kids how to handle money. Some of those things that we do, some of those, again, the proud dad moments kind of going through there. So stick around, everybody. We will be right back. Hello, everyone. Rick Stevens here with FRS Financial Group. Did 2020 treat you like a rag doll in a washing machine? Were there unexpected financial issues that came up that you're still wrestling with? Maybe there was a wedding, a funeral, a birth, a graduation, or a job change in your world last year. Whatever the financial event, we believe it's always a good idea to speak with a financial professional, and the pros at FRS Financial Group are here to help. With FRS Financial Group, we're here to serve your best interest, and we want to see you succeed every step of the way in your financial journey. Whether you're nearing the end of the working years, just starting out, or anywhere in between, we can help. So give us a call at 719-500-8700 to set up a time, and remember to tell us that you heard on KRDO. Also, don't forget to tune in to Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., wherever you listen to KRDO. Investment services offered through Waddell & Reed, Inc., a separate entity. Waddell & Reed, Incorporated, member SIPC. Well, thanks for sticking with us through that break, folks. We are here in the studio this week on Money Matters, talking with Doug Gooden, talking about teaching our kids about money, how to handle it, being thoughtful, making those good decisions. One of the most difficult things that I find for most teens to really grasp is the concept of a budget. I'll also say that's not really different from a lot of adults either. we oftentimes as adults struggle with understanding that really the budget is a tool for discipline, right? And if we go back, we read through the Proverbs, at the time, all discipline, yeah, it doesn't feel real good, but it does provide some good results in the end. So ultimately, that budget as that tool to develop discipline, what's been your experience in helping your kids understand the importance of budgeting their money?
First, I think it's setting the example. All the way along as our kids are growing up, we made it clear we have a budget and we would say no to some things. Nope, it's not in the budget. We have to wait till next month and figure out if we can make the money available next month because we don't have it this month. We're going to stick to the schedule. And that just creates the mindset, the paradigm. This is what we do. And then going back to those envelopes that we talked about, we also had a little ledger for them. And we just had them write down. Here's where I spent the money. I put this in savings and, you know, work on their math skills as well to add and subtract.
Little accounting in there. Nothing wrong with that.
But the habit of saying, keep track of your money. I love how Dave Ramsey talks about you tell every dollar where to go. And that's so important. Again, it's a tool. Don't let the money control you. You control it and control yourself, control your habits. And as they got older, we would move to a spreadsheet where it would be a little more complex. And then now all my kids do use the Every Dollar website that Ramsey Solutions puts out. And I will say this for my girls, I'm not sure they'd use it as much because their mindset is so save. They don't spend much. So it's like it all goes into the savings. Well, I'm not going to balk at that. That's fine. Sort of the mindset. But for my son, again, he's so generous. And he's also given a little more than my girls to, I can buy that. And so we make him do the budget, and then we have to say, okay, you got to stick to it. It doesn't help accomplish the mission here. And so we talk through that and work through that. And, you know, sometimes he doesn't stick with it. And, all right, well, that money's got to come from somewhere. So that's going to cost save. Now, you've been saving up for this or that. We talked about the proud dad moment. Another thing he bought a couple years ago with cash was a nice guitar. And he saved up and paid $2,500 or something like that for a guitar. So now when he breaks his budget, we can say, okay, if you're saving up for the next whatever you want, the money's got to come from somewhere, buddy. So if you spend it on Taco Bell, you can't spend it on the guitar or whatever you want down the road. So he's a work in progress. They all are, as we all are, right?
Yes.
Chris and I don't always stick to the budget either, but that's kind of how we approach it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I don't know if it's a boy thing, or we just have two that are very similar, but my oldest, he'll be very good. He'll say, okay, I need to buy this new piece for my computer or that new thing. And he will be very diligent in saving for that specific thing. But yeah, there are a lot of midnight Taco Bell, McDonald's runs that are in there. I do have to give him some credit though on a little budget story. So he's headed to Grand Canyon University in Phoenix here in the fall. Nice. He was looking at schools that he would want to go to after he finished his first 2 years at Pikes Peak. Most of them were in the Pacific Northwest. For the most part, they had really big price tags. Mm. And we have some dollars set aside. We've said, hey, you budget this the way that it's going to work best for you. And he's, you know, working on this, thinking these things through. And after a couple of weeks, we're sitting at the dinner table, and he says, I've made a decision. All right, great. What are you going to do? Well, I've decided I'm going to go to Grand Canyon, because if I went to any of those Pacific Northwest schools, I'd have to do it with a student loan. Mm. And Dave Ramsey says student loans are not a good idea. So on one hand, I've got that proud dad moment, right? All right, we're listening. We're listening. It's a good, mature decision, but Dave Ramsey, what about dad says? What am I? What have I taught you? So we don't ever get credit on that sort of thing, do we?
Just be happy you learned the principle, brother.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Now, we've been talking about the older kids, right? The teenagers earning money, doing different things. I'm going to start with this question. What was your first job that you remember having? How old were you? And how much did you get paid per hour?
So I did a few lawn mowing jobs early on, but the first real job I had was summer. I think I was 13 or 14 years old, and it was caddying for a really nice country club in town.
Oh, nice.
It was hilarious. I didn't know anything about golf. You know, at that time, I didn't look at golf as a sport. And my buddy had this job, and he said, hey, you can get it too. So it was really ritzy, really nice country club, and I'm walking all over the lines. I'm clanking the clubs. They're saying, give me the 4-hour, and I'm like, what's a 4-hour kind of thing? It's amazing. I lasted past the first round. But there was this one old man who was very gracious with me, and he quickly realized I had no clue what I was doing. And I was offending everybody, right? So he pulls me aside, young man, and he starts teaching me some golf etiquette. And thankfully, I was able to learn quickly, and then I was able to work all summer, and I made pretty good money. I think it was about $10 per 9 holes plus tips, and this was the kind of place that tipped pretty well. So compared to other jobs at the time, this was big money.
Nice. Yeah, that's for me, my first, again, in that real job world, right? Because for years I worked with my dad doing construction things, but my first real job was at about 14, working at my uncle's video store. Would have been back about 1988 or so. And I would work Friday nights, Saturday nights, which, you know, good way to keep a teen kid out of trouble, put him to work Friday and Saturday night. And if memory serves, I think I got paid $5 an hour. So basically I made about $20 a day working that 5 to 9 when we would close. And you know, I don't ever remember at that point, you know, again, this is 100 years ago and we're old men, but I don't really remember wishing I had more. I always felt like I had enough at that point to do whatever it was I needed to do. Most importantly, usually saving up for a new baseball glove at that point in time. So when it comes to our kids, your kids, when did you start encouraging them to go out and find ways to earn money?
As soon as they could crawl. No, not quite. But so my girls babysat as soon as they were able, as soon as, you know, people would hire them to do some babysitting, and they did that. All three of my kids had part-time jobs by the time they were 15. Mm. My oldest did a local popcorn shop, gourmet popcorn shop. It was great. We got to know the owners because we went in there all the time to buy popcorn and got to know the owners. And they said, we're looking for somebody. And so, you know, that was a hassle in one sense. We had to get her to the shop 3 or 4 days a week, but what great experience it was for her. Second child did a swim coaching kind of thing. She'd never done much swimming, but she learned and was able to coach that. And then Gabe has been doing landscaping for several years now. So right early on, and like you just said, it keeps them out of trouble, keeps them focused, and they have some money where they can implement all these things we've been talking about. And so we also, along with that, started making them pay for some of their things, like toiletries and that kind of thing. They realize, okay, this is not just fun money. We still save, spend, all that. So it's been great, and now they're all hard workers.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, most of mine have done a variety of different things. In fact, my youngest quote unquote employee, if you will, started really working when she was 11. You know, the kids were out in the neighborhood doing various lawn jobs, sort of things. And yeah, the girls have done some babysitting things. My oldest, he's been working at Glen Eyrie for a few years there. So yeah, getting them out there, getting them to not only have that income, but then turning over some of those. Well, you're going to pay for this now. You need to be looking at those sorts of things. Even my 14-year-old has some things that she has to pay for in terms of, you know, you've got a phone. There's some things that go along with this and you know, responsibilities, not just, hey, I get this sort of a thing. So, yeah, getting them involved, having them really learn what it's really like.
My kids all pay for their insurance, their gas, and they understand, like you said, this is real life. You might as well learn now that you're going to have to pay for stuff.
Yeah, and what I've often told folks is I'd rather let my kid make a $50 or a $500 mistake now than 6-7 years from now make a $50,000 mistake.
Good. That's good.
So last question, and I'm going to kind of leave this a little wide open here. When it comes to those goals, right, saving money, how have you guided your kids on what they ought to be saving for, right? Not just, okay, I'm just sticking it aside, but really putting together a goal. How have you kind of helped steer them in that saving direction, as well as, I know you've introduced the concept of investing to them as well. So so how have you gone about that?
Yeah, the saving is if there's something they want to buy, like we talked about the guitar or the car, so we've introduced that right away. Hey, have a goal for the short term. We've already introduced the idea of an emergency fund for all of them, and they ask the question, what do I need that for, right? And that's a good question. You don't really need an emergency fund. We are your emergency fund in one sense, but it's just a good habit. So, you know, we didn't start with a $10,000 or $20,000 or three. It's not a full 3 month, but all right, you need to set some money aside that you will never use unless you absolutely have to. And then just begin that training and that process of picking some things you know are coming. You know you're going to want another car someday or college or whatever it is, and set those kind of goals. And investing, so last year, 2020, was a strange year for all of us. So once we realized the 15 days or whatever it was to stop the spread was going to end up being much longer than that, I found this really great, very simple investing tutorial online. So family movie night became, come here kids, honey, come over here, we're going to talk about it. And they walk through what a share or a company is, and it comes from a very a Buffett oriented kind of perspective. You're buying a part of a company, not just trading. and here's what PE is and all those different things you need. So they got a pretty good education during COVID to learn that, and then they started putting money. So now they put some of their save in long-term investing, and the idea is don't touch this for the next 40 years. Mm-hmm. You keep contributing, and I pulled out the calculator, right? Yep. And here's the compounding interest. Man, their eyes light up when they learn what compounding interest does. All right, when you're 40 years down the road, you can be a millionaire. You should be a millionaire if you keep this up, and you're starting now. I wish I had started mm-hmm. at their age, right? So that's kind of how we've approached those things.
Awesome. Yeah, I always love that whole, you know, you're already a millionaire, you just don't know it. But it's down that road in the future, and it only takes about $50 a month to get there because we've got a whole lot of time. Well, that's going to actually wrap us for this week. Doug, thank you for joining us. Now, we're going to do this as a two-parter, so you're back again next week.
All right, and
we're going to actually talk about some younger kids. We'll have another guest in with us next week as well. He is, you know, like me, he's got six of them, but his six are actually much smaller than my six. So we're going to talk kind of that rubber on the road with the 3-, 4-, 5-year-old side of the world. But thanks for joining us, folks. We are going to be back next week. We're going to continue talking about teaching our kids how to handle money. If you've got a question from anything we've talked about on today's show, give us a call, 719-500-8700. Send that contact request, frsfinancialgroup.com. We would love to hear from you. That's it for this week. Thanks for listening. And remember that this show is all about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.